She found herself a job right away, teaching English to Indonesian businessmen at the American Embassy. The Americans were mostly older men, careerists in the State Department, the occasional economists or journalists who would mysteriously disappear for months at a time, their affiliation or function in the embassy never quite clear. These men knew the country, though, or parts of it anyway, the closets where the skeletons were buried. Over lunch or casual conversation, they would share with her things she couldn't learn in the published news reports. They explained how Sukarno had frayed badly on the nerves of a U.S. government already obsessed with the march of communism through Indochina. What with his nationalist rhetoric and his politics of non-alignment, he was as bad as Lumumba or Nasser, only worse, given Indonesia's strategic importance. Word was that the CIA had played a part in the coup, although nobody knew for sure. More certain was the fact that after the coup, the military had swept the countryside for supposed communist sympathizers. The death toll was anybody's guess. A few hundred thousand, maybe, half a million. Even the smart guys at the agency had lost count. Innuendo, half-whispered asides. That's how my mother found out that we had arrived in Jakarta less than a year after one of the more brutal and swift campaigns of suppression in modern times. The idea frightened her. The notion that history could be swallowed up so completely, the same way the rich and loamy earth could soak up the rivers of blood that had once coursed through the streets, the way people could continue about their business beneath giant posters of the new president as if nothing had happened. Power. The word fixed in my mother's mind like a curse.